This is the Epic New Podcast, Two Idiots and a List, where you're going to get two idiots and a list. And now, coming to you live from Circle Avenue Studios, your hosts, Nick Fasolo and Keurig McMillan.
Hey folks, welcome to another episode of Two Idiots and a List. We are here live at Circle Avenue Studios for the first time together since we recorded our very first pod. I'm here today, as always, with my co-host, Nick Fasolo.
Hey, Keurig, thanks for having me back to Circle Avenue Studios. It's good to be out again. That pandemic is a bitch.
Indeed.
We're almost at the end of it, though.
Indeed.
Speaking of viral earworms, we're going to be talking about Journey today. And that's a band for me, always around, like always just like in the background of my life. They've been like at every party that I've ever been to, at every, you know, in every goddamn movie, it seems like there's a Journey song.
They are ubiquitous.
They're everywhere. And this band has been around since like 72 or 73.
Something like that.
It's like really early on, but... like, they didn't hit their full stride until Steve Perry joined the band in somewhere around 78.
Yeah, and that first stuff was really, really proggy.
It was kind of...
I didn't have a taste for it. It felt like a mix of, ELO, Alan Parsons, maybe a pixie dust sprinkling of Little River Band.
Yeah, and then, you know, Perry comes in and, you know, they become... They're not a rock band. They're not.
No.
They're like a post... disco, quasi dance rock band. Like, I don't know if there's any other band quite like them.
It's like a heavier version of Air Supply.
It is, yeah. And they have many derivatives, you know, Bad English and John Waite, you know, had a nice career there for a hot minute. And even Richard Marx kind of got jumped on that bandwagon. Although, if you're not, like, listen, I'm not going to shit on Richard Marx because the man will come after me at Twitter. I mean, the man is an absolute assassin on Twitter. You read his shit?
He's fucking great.
My grandfather actually worked with his father. His father was a jingle writer for Leo Burnett. And he used to say, like, yeah, I remember Richard playing piano in his house and stuff like that. Anyhow, I digress. Let's move on.
It's a random fact.
It is a random fact. Like, I want all the love to go out to Richard Marx. Don't come after me. But anyhow, like, there are many derivatives of Journey, but these guys were they're top 100 all-time selling
something like
acts
that. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The amount of hits they had, the amount of records that were sold. Crazy successful band. Crazy successful.
Yeah. I'd never owned one of their albums until I got the Journey
Greatest Hits.
Everybody had Journey's Greatest Hits.
So our format here of making a list, we pick our top five songs and an honorable mention. I had the darndest time, to use something my mother would probably say, figuring out...
Shout out to Dorcas.
Figuring out six songs and not having all six of them come off of that Greatest Hits compilation.
Well, but I mean, their Greatest Hits compilation, that's kind of what it is, right?
Yeah. They truly picked all of their great hits.
They did. But Perry was with the band from 78 to 87. It's really nebulous kind of like where he left off. But it was like, you know, he was there for maybe 10, 11 years. And the guy that they have now, Pineda, has been with them for a longer period of time.
I didn't know that.
He joined the band in 2007.
What I've seen from his live performances, I haven't seen them live myself, but from stuff online.
Never saw Journey live?
I've never seen Journey live.
Really?
No. No.
I have.
I'd like to, but I want to see see Steve Perry Journey. I don't want to see Filipino Journey.
I'll tell you what.
It's like sour cream and light sour cream, right? They're just not quite the same.
You would think. And I don't know. Steve Perry is, you know, I don't put him up there with like the stellar front men that you just can't get along with. Listen, I saw Journey open up for Def Leppard at Wrigley Field, and we were, you know, whatever, 100 yards away. And you could not tell the difference between Steve Perry and this guy.
Yeah.
That's the reason why he's in the band.
He
hits every note. He even, you know, kind of has a stage presence like him. He's always running around and, you know, this frenetic, you know.
They found him on YouTube. right? Yeah, isn't that how they found Neil Schon found him on YouTube, and he was in a cover band in the Philippines.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that's the move. I mean, if you lose your front man, you know, there's a dozen cover bands out there in the world that are doing your shit. So probably better than you are.
Do you find yourself, and this was a weird, you know, as listening to their stuff, I found myself conflicted, right? There was something, and it was a question that popped up. Are you fulfilled or conflicted by Journey?
Well, what do you mean fulfilled?
You know, is it something that makes you feel good? Or is it something where you're like, I just don't know how I feel about this band?
There's a lot of anger that I have listening to some of their songs.
Yeah.
And it's not any anger pointed at any. It's just like, I don't know why. I don't know. It's like, why do I know all the fucking words to Love and Touch and Squeeze Her? Right. All of them. I know all the words to Send Her My Love. Yeah. All of them. I don't. That's why I'm angry. Why the fuck do I know that? Like, it wasn't like, again, I didn't own these albums.
No.
Is it so much that, like, someone just put the Journey's Greatest Hits disc in and just let it play the whole way through?
Yeah.
Right? It was, on the 5-CD disc changer, and everybody just, like, the first 5 songs on that album are, like, all the, you know, the big ones, you know, Don't Stop Believin' and everything like that.
Right.
And then they just let it go. Like, they'd walk away and just, like, let it go and let it play, and then all of a sudden you're loving, touching, squeezing, and it's like, what? Why? Why do I know this? It's like Hall & Oates shit. Like, why do I know all of their lyrics too?
Yeah.
I'm angry about that.
But I
taking
have
a brain space that I need.
I have more respect for Hall & Oates than I do for Journey for some
Way
reason.
More.
And I don't know why that is. I mean, it's not bad music. It's not poorly written. Their songs are intricate. They're not the sort of carbon copy of the same song over and over for the most part. And I'm probably looking at this from a greatest hit standpoint versus their albums, because there's so many fucking ballads on these albums. I mean, it's
their
like
albums are junk. listen, I'm going to run you through Infinity, because I'm not even going to pay attention to the first ones without Steve Perry. Here's Steve Perry's albums, Infinity, 78. You had Lights and Anytime. That's it. Then you have Evolution, 1979. You have Legend, Love and Touch and Squeezing. There's no other hit on that album. That's their second album. Departure, 1980, Any Way You Want It. That's it. Escape. Don't Stop Believing. That's their big one. Journey Escape from 81.
Right.
Don't Stop Believing, Stone in Love, blah, blah, blah. And then you have Raised on the Radio, or I'm sorry, Frontiers in 83. Has 2 hits off of it. Raised on the Radio has 1. And their greatest, and that's it. So those 5 albums have, like, you know, that's your greatest hits album.
Which is what, 15 songs long, I think?
Yeah. I mean, they weren't as lazy as Van Halen. I'll give you that. But I mean, you know, they really didn't. They didn't pack a lot into those albums, but I mean, that I guess that was kind of the way. You know, like there's very few albums that, like, top to bottom are great. But I mean, still, I mean, you got 2 fucking songs off of each album. Blah.
When I was listening to their albums, I would hear a song that was off of Greatest Hits. The song would end, and I'd be ready for the next song to come off of Greatest Hits. Like, I knew my head what that next song was supposed to be, which it turned out to not be because it wasn't off that album. But so the Greatest Hits, that came when Perry decided to take a hiatus.
That's
so
right.
That was what, 86, I think, was the last album they put out.
It was on
and
his
then
way out. Yeah.
87 or 88 was when the Greatest Hits came out, and
right.
That's I think Columbia was saying, wow, we've sold a shitload of albums, and let's do that again, but they're not producing anything, so we'll put out a Greatest Hits. And it turned out to be, like, one of the best-selling Greatest Hits albums of all time.
It is. I mean, besides, like, what I can think of is, like, you know, the Best of the Eagles, that album, for whatever you think about the Eagles, and they'll get their time in the breach, too. That's a great album. And this one, like, as far as Greatest Hits albums goes, like, this one pretty much this is it. It's
right.
Pretty good.
Right.
It is good. Here's the other thing, the ubiquity of Journey. Again, I'm going to go back to, like, it wasn't so much the radio that I was listening to as I was watching MTV, like it was my fucking job. And Journey was everywhere. They were, like, the first band, well, one of the first American bands to get their shit together and get a video production crew together and put out videos.
Right.
And looking back on their videos, they are funny then, and not funny like in the David Lee Roth, I went out of my way to be funny.
No.
Funny just because they are so fucking bad. They're
terrible.
But they're always on rotation at MTV because it was an American band that had a video. And then They had this concert from Houston in 1981.
I think I saw clips of that. It was, and I thought I saw that was recorded by NFL Films, which I thought was an odd source for recording music. So yeah. NFL Films must have their production crews in different areas doing different things for different reasons.
They did it for MTV because MTV, you know, MTV comes on the air in August of 81. This was shot in November of 81. And it was done for MTV because I think they went to them and said, listen, we have nothing to run. We have no, like, nothing. And so they played that concert in its full entirety. Like, I must have seen it 50 times.
Right.
Just because it was on and I'm watching TV.
Yeah.
And there it is. And then I see, you know, and it was fine. It was like their greatest hits album all over. Because they edited out a lot of shit, too. So it was like an hour block and they would give you an hour of the concert. And they would do a weird thing where they'd give you an hour of the concert. And then 2 hours later, they would give you a different hour of the same concert. But it's the only concert footage they had. So they're like, they rolled it out. And
right.
There it was. And that's why I know, you know, Any Way You Want It. I know it backwards and forwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't like myself because of it.
All right. Well,
let's
then
jump into this.
Let's get this underway. Okay. So for our first round, we are going to do our honorable mentions. Now, I'm going to disappoint you here and do what I did for David Lee Roth, but I just couldn't get around it. My honorable mention is Oh Sherry.
Red hot solo career, and you just can't deny Steve Perry his due.
It's a great tune. It's a great tune.
I like it. It's
typical. It's very much along the vein of Journey. When you listen to the song, you don't think, wow, this is Steve Perry doing his solo stuff. It's fucking Journey. It just doesn't have the rest of the band behind it. There's really not much difference in the songwriting, and those guys were pretty involved with their songwriting. You know, everybody contributed to it. There's multiple writing credits on most of those songs. So it's not like you took something that was distinctly Journey, pulled Steve Perry out of that, he wrote his own song, and now you've got apples and oranges. It's pretty comparable.
Yeah, it's a Journey. It's another Journey song. So I'll allow it this time.
All right.
But Oh Sherry is one of my favorites, too. It is in a heavy rotation in my playlist, Oh Sherry. I don't know why. I think it's because that came out, I want to say, probably our freshman year.
Yep.
And, you know, it was a monster hit for him.
It was big.
And it was just, I don't know. I don't think I know anybody named Sherry. So I can't.
No, I don't either.
But keeping in that vein of, like, you know, sappy, just, I guess, the, like, love songs or whatever. They have their fair share of those.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And they're just, you know, syrupy, and they're bleh. But I have to give it to them. Like, my honorable mention is Faithfully. Highway run into the go round and round on my mind. For some reason, well, I know the reason. Like, the reason was, like, this is the one, that's like the go-to song, the breakup go-to song.
Yep.
Like, that's it. Like, I'm not alone in any of this.
Nope.
Right? And this song came out in, I think it was off their, Jesus Christ, I don't know. It was their, off of Frontiers in 83. Yeah. So, but it's still, like, you know, the major breakups that happened in, like, high school even. Like,
yeah.
The song finds you, like, in the darkest places.
It absolutely does.
And those opening keys, you're like, oh, man, it's all coming back. And then, you know.
For that reason, this was my number three.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And I heard it, and it just absolutely catapulted me back to to my freshman year of college.
Yeah.
And this was the perfect breakup song for a long-distance relationship,
oh, yeah.
which I was in, and it didn't work out. Yeah, we're gonna peel the foil off some 12-year-old scotch here and get soused on air, telling everybody about our woes from 30 years ago. I'm sure they'll love it.
Yeah, that was it, man. That is the breakup song. Like, I think that if you were gonna make a list of breakup songs, that one probably pretty much tops the list.
I think lyrically, it's probably my favorite song of theirs.
Yeah,
just the way the
tells a good story.
The way the story is told. Mm-hmm. If you're in that position when you hear this song, it absolutely, it fits like a glove.
Yeah, so. I'm forever yours. we'll come back around to that.
All right, so that brings us to my number 5. I picked Just the Same Way. Again, I had a hard time.
Those punchy lyrics.
Punchy lyrics. I wanted to do something that was, not on that Greatest Hits album. At least I don't think it was on that Greatest Hits album. I think I might have one more off of that. But
hold on a second. Go ahead. Finish your thought. I want to come back to that.
This song kind of found its way into radio play here and there on, the WLSs and LUP and stuff like that. Outside of everything that was on the Greatest Hits soundtrack. So I like this song.
All right, so let me get back to this. You picked the song because it wasn't on the Greatest Hits album.
It was part of the reason.
Right, and so this goes back to your whole fandom of Rush and everything. This is what I can't stand about Rush fans, is because you're out there, it's like, oh, I'm not going to do what the mainstream is, man. I'm going to zag when everybody zigs and shit. The fucking list has been made for you. They put a perfect Greatest Hits album together, and you got to find the one nugget that's okay, that just the same way. Come on.
I'm not sure that zigging and zagging can be used in a discussion around Journey. It's about as mainstream as you can get.
Safe mom rock. That's pretty much it is. Like, we're trying to identify what it is, and it's mother. It's mom rock.
Yeah, it's like a warm cup of soup.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, number 5 here. Number 5 for me is the Anytime. Ooh, anytime that you want me. And didn't they have a song that rolled into that? I don't know. Anytime. Anyhow, I like that one.
Anytime. I'm not remembering it.
It's got the really cool phaser drum fill.
Okay.
And Neil Schon's guitar work is, his solo on that is really good. Like, that is like, that's Neil Schon from Santana days. Like, right. he's a shredder. It's like, so I will give it to Neil Schon. Like, when you're 17 years old, and in 1971, and Santana and Derek and the Dominoes are looking to add you to the lineup.
Yeah.
That's something. Like, you've got something there.
They had two guys from Santana. Schon and either the keyboardist or the bass player. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But two of those guys came from Santana.
And so anytime when you go back and listen to it, like, you will, like, oh, shit, I remember that song. Of course, it's a huge. It was a big, big hit for you. And it was on the Greatest Hits album.
Right, right.
I think. Now I don't know.
I don't know that it was.
Maybe
I don't remember.
I fell into my own trap. Damn.
See, you're turning into a Rush fan every day. A little more.
Rush fan under the covers.
Oh, by the way, I just getting back to Greatest Hits really quick. I had run some math on this, and I was just thinking about CDs in general. For some reason, why this Greatest Hits thing made me think about this, I don't know. But in 86, call it, you would pay about $15 for a CD, mm-hmm. right? If you run it through the inflation calculator, that's $36 today. Those fuckers were raping us for $36 for discs.
Oh, yeah.
Which is stupid.
Which is why I have no love lost for the record companies. Like, the artists are getting royally screwed these days, but...
I agree, yeah.
They're getting fucked, but, like, the Columbias and, you know, all the other big labels, like, fuck them. They were raping us. $16 for an album in 1986 was bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I saw something that said the birth of digital streaming and stuff like that actually expanded their market. So it doesn't necessarily do well for the record companies per se from the standpoint of profit on an individual sale basis. But what it did do is it allowed people who weren't affluent suburban Caucasians who could cough out $15 or $16 for a compact disc, it gives them access to music today that they didn't have. All they had was radio. The benefit of streaming is that you expanded the market. And from an artist's standpoint, you know, we've talked about me being in a couple of different bands. I've got two original albums, and if this was 1988, nobody would have them because, sure. Well, for one thing, we wouldn't have been able to record them without going into an expensive studio. And secondly, there wouldn't be any platform for sharing them.
You know? Yeah, the industry is definitely flattened to bring more music to more people. I would just wish that the artists got a bigger cut of it.
But oh, yeah.
That's always been the way, though.
I have some math for another song that we'll get to as well, but it's kind of shocking when you hear the numbers on it. All right, that brings us to number four. And my number four is Feeling That Way. I liked this song because it had, it is also not on the greatest hits. That's not why I picked it, though.
Right.
I like the fact that they have two different vocals going in this.
Okay, so Feeling That Way is the lead-in to Anytime. Or Anytime lead-in to Feeling That
Way.
Okay,
yeah, yeah. Right? It's the other way around. Anytime follows Feeling That Way.
Follows it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it starts out with that.
Yeah, so I've got the precursor to that one, and I believe neither of them are on the greatest hits.
No,
so.
You're right about that. We're a perfect match, Garrett.
That's right. We're like puzzle pieces fitting together. The keyboardist is the other vocal on this song, and when you look at some of the other song credits for Journey, you know, obviously Perry is the powerhouse vocalist for this band, but the rest of the band does plenty good singing. That was well stated. Plenty good.
Yeah.
The rest of the band does a good job, you know, with their vocals as well, contributing to the layered sound that they have. And I like this song. The keyboardist actually wrote the song.
He's a big-time Christian rock guy now, I think.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Mm. Christian rock always gets me, man. When I used to listen to the radio, and it wasn't too long ago that I had a car stereo that I would, instead of using my phone, you'd be like scrolling through the channels looking for something, and then always you would hit upon like a song that you haven't really heard. There's good music, there's a good riff, and then all of a sudden then they're talking about I Am the Light, and I'm sitting, and it's like, okay, this is a Christian rock fucking station, they got me again.
I'm in a Facebook group of guys that it was started by a guy that we went to high school with. And it's like a music and movies kind of social group, and there are a lot of metalheads in this Facebook group, and they'll post all kinds of stuff, bands I've never heard of before, and one that I keep seeing over and over again. What was the Christian metal band?
Wasp.
Wasp. No. Was it Wasp?
Was it Wasp? Striper.
Striper.
Yes.
To Hell with the Devil.
That's right. Striper.
It always surprised me that these guys who are into some pretty diehard metal music also put Striper in that category.
Fucking way.
I thought it was weird too, but in Striper's defense, I've never heard one of their songs.
Yellow and black spandex. Yellow
yeah,
and
black. Yeah, they look like bees.
Yeah. We are bees.
So, that brings us to your number four.
This is a song off of a soundtrack, and it is also off of one of their later albums, Raised on the Radio. But it was on the soundtrack. That's the way I found this song, was on a really awful, shitty movie that, again, it's like I didn't do anything with my life in the 80s except watch TV. I was, it was a shitty Sean Astin, Kevin Bacon vehicle called Whitewater River. I can't read this fucking handwriting. Whitewater Summer. It's fucking terrible. It's
never heard of it.
Oh, it's one of the worst movies ever. But it comes in handy when you are playing Six Degrees of Seven Bacon, which is his son, Seven, named after Mickey Mantle. Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon, because he has Sean Astin in it, and that's a good link to all the other... Never mind, let's move on. But this is like the end song that they roll the credits on, and I've always liked it. It's always, it's got a nice positive... It could be a Christian rock song, because it is a very positive kind of message. Be good to yourself.
I like Be Good to Yourself.
Yeah. All right. It's a positive message, I guess. That's all. It's like I think we're going to run into a lot with this band. It's like, there's not much else to say about them.
It's not.
They're kind of flat, like, okay.
Yeah. It's sort of a shoulder shrug band. You're like, okay. Yeah. It's sing-along music. And we must have pounded the crap out of that Greatest Hits album when we were in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so much of it. And it wasn't even just like us hanging around with our buddies. I think I was listening to it with my girlfriend. I think I was listening to it on my own.
You're in a bar in college and it was on.
Yeah.
I mean, it was on everywhere. All the time.
It was everywhere.
Yeah.
All right. That brings us to our number threes. You sniped mine, which was Faithfully.
Oh, really?
So that brings us back to yours.
I like Stone in Love. One of their kind of, I guess, their hard rocking tunes, but it's like another party song that you kind of like to, it's got Neil Schoen's guitar riff is really simply, which is very good.
Right.
Hard rocking, he got it. He got it on that song. And, Steve Perry's added lyrics is, he's got a lot of soaring lyrics in this. That's kind of his talent, like this big soaring kind of vocals that would like ride on top of Neil Schoen's guitar work. Like this is a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
That song. I like it.
Yeah. That was swimming around in the in the shallow water when I was making my list.
Yeah.
It didn't quite make it up there, but I do like that song. Okay, that brings us to our segment, Masturbatory Fantasies.
Yeah. There's a lot there.
Listen to Prince if you want to understand the background behind that story. So, you're going to see Journey with two other bands. Who are those bands going to be?
Well, it's got to be a themed show. I think that you take all the shitty mom rocks, and all deference to the moms. Maybe I'll come up with a better term of that. All the shitty just kind of...
Way
like,
to alienate half our audience.
Yeah, you should probably edit that out. Just thinking about that. Just milquetoast rock. And, if it's going to be a themed night, I'm going to go all in. So Foreigner's going to lead off the bill here for me.
Baby, you're speaking my language.
And big vocals, baby. That's what we're all about tonight. Foreigner is going to lead this off with Lou Gramm in all of his gloriousness and Lou Gramm's hair.
Is he going to do his, what was his?
Midnight
big
Blue.
Baby. Midnight Blue. Thank you.
That's right.
Remember the solo.
All these guys that depart their bands and they make their best, dumb songs. What? I just... I just heard Midnight Blue the other day. I'm like, oh, that is going on the playlist. Cherry Red.
I love Midnight Blue.
So Lou Gramm and his hair is going to be kicking off the night. Then Journey's going to come on in the interim, just to play a quick five song set, because I've heard enough of them. And then REO Speedwagon going to roll up the night with all of their awful greatest hits.
One of the stranger looking lead singers out there.
Kevin
something
Cronin?
Or other.
Cronin?
That sounds right.
It's not Kevin.
Those guys were huge.
Not Kevin Dubrow.
That was Quiet Riot, wasn't it?
Yeah, REO was big.
They were big.
Local guys, right? U of I?
Yeah, they are. They are Illinoisans. Yeah. All right. I'll see, I don't know, any of the later albums with Perry so that you get all the hits you want to hear. And I'm gonna have to cover the sort of rocky side or heavier rock side of things, we're gonna throw in some Billy Squire.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then to compliment
Rock
Me Tonight.
Is he going to jump around in his purple tank top, his pink tank top?
I hope so. Otherwise, I'm leaving.
And his pink leg warmers. Just walk around, strut about.
Billy Squire is awesome.
He's awesome. Listen to him talk about the videos that he did. Because, again, he was one of the first American bands to like get his shit together with the videos things. And he talks about them now, and he's like, man, I don't know what I was doing. I was just listening to the fucking director. And
he had a big career, and then he just sort of disappeared. Like, yeah. I don't understand what happened to that guy. He didn't make the misstep that, who's the guy that sings Do You Feel Like We Do?
Frampton.
You know, Frampton had a couple of missteps in there where he made some goofy albums. I don't remember Squire doing anything like that. It's like he just, like, his time was done.
Yeah, he made like two albums and then that was it. He was out of there.
Yeah.
He didn't hang around like Eddie Money and fuck around with drugs and alcohol and just keep on playing the Taste of Lombard 10 years later. Like, respect the cops out there.
warning the crowd that he's going to get his license back in 6 months and they shouldn't drive drunk.
Yeah.
That was sad.
Yeah.
That was sad.
Pour one out for Eddie.
All right. So to round out my night, Billy Squire and Journey, and I'm going to throw in to cover the heart-tugging songs, The Outfield.
I had Outfield on here.
Did you?
Yes, I did. It was right there. You see, I scratched it out because I wanted something a little bit more.
I'm so sad, feeling blue.
The Outfield is such trash. That guy just died.
Did he?
Yeah, the lead singer.
I had two of their albums.
Yes, and you did. Yes, you did.
I think that kind of made it into that same playlist era of me wallowing in my own crapulence when the relationship ended.
Actually, I think I took the second one away from you.
You may
have. Because you just kept on cycling through it. I'm like, listen, you're not going to like me when I do this, but I'm taking this away from you because I believe that it is the cork that has plugged up your life. Like, when I take this out, it's all going to drain. It's all going to feel better in a couple of days. Like, I took it, and I had it for 9 months. And I don't even know what the album's title is. Couldn't tell you.
I remember that sort of pastel-y art that was on the cover of their albums.
Yeah, because Play Deep is, that was their first one. But their second one was a little bit more moody.
Yes.
And that's what you were, that's what you were at the bar for.
I was chin deep in it at that point.
Yeah, if only I had found that a year earlier when I was going through my breakup. Yeah. Could have been a whole different life.
All right, that brings us to our number twos. Number two. My number two is, let me get to it here. There we go. My number two is Separate Ways. What's wrong with Separate Ways?
And just as soon as you say it, I hear that fucking keyboard and I see the video was them playing air instruments to the track.
Was it?
And the fucking guy, the keyboard guy, is doing air keyboards, and I'm like, You couldn't have made it any less cooler in 1984.
They were a nerdy band.
Oh, man.
They were a nerdy band.
And they sold it, too. They sold it.
They worked hard
Neil
at it.
Neil Schon just rocking out on his air guitar.
Oh, that head of hair he had in the early days was nothing short of magnificent.
That was delicious. Well, when he was with Santana, it was a full-blown out fucking throw.
It was like a foot and a half radius around his head. That's tough to achieve.
Yeah.
How do you get through doors? You gotta worry about ceiling fans. I like this song. This song had a great driving rhythm. It was, you know, you can't really tag a lot of power rock songs, with the name Journey. This one kind of felt that way. It's another angsty breakup song, and maybe that's why it sits where it does on my list.
Love will find you.
Right? It's me pining away in a dorm room with a 24 pack of old style light.
And this is the time where, like, you're done feeling sorry for yourself, and now it's going to be like, someday love's gonna find you.
I'm gonna find it.
Sing it to me. That's awesome. Learning a lot about Keurig tonight. I thought I knew it all.
You saw those dark years. You remember them good and
Listen,
well.
Listen, we all had them.
That's right.
We all had them.
All right, what you got?
This is from... this is another movie off of a soundtrack, and that's how I found it. But it is, I believe, on the greatest hits. It's called Only the Young. This is off of the Vision Quest soundtrack. You ever see Vision Quest?
I don't think I have. Is that the wrestling movie?
Fucking great movie, man. Yeah, Matthew Modine
plays
Loudon Downey, I think. Yeah, Loudon. I think it's Loudon Downey. A young Linda Fiorentino is the love interest.
Ooh.
The sultry, smoky, transient that just happens to move into this kid's house. And, he's a wrestler. And then his best friend is, you'd know him better from Jake from 16 Candles.
Oh yeah,
he has the mohawk.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great '80s movie because it has all that kind of like it's a melange of '80s culture kind of packed into one. Madonna plays herself as a bar singer, and she does "Crazy for You," one of my favorites of hers. And this song, "Only the Young," is the backdrop soundtrack. The non-diegetic sound to a great 80s montage of training. You know, you had the, all the movies that have the training montage,
Rocky,
they all had them. This was one of them where, Matthew Modine is cutting weight.
Well, it's about wrestling, right?
That's like him running around in a aluminum foil suit.
He's just wrapped in...
Sitting in a hot shower, just in a rubber suit, just trying to make weight.
Wrapped in saran wrap, eating butter.
It's great. It's great. I love this song, though. It's great.
Talk about a career that ended abruptly. Jake from 16 Candles.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I didn't know he did another movie.
He was like the coolest kid in any of those movies at 16 Candles. In those movies, 16 Candles being one of them. Like, Jake? That guy was the coolest fucking thing ever.
Yeah. Oh, he was handsome. He
had a Rolls Royce and a Porsche.
Yeah, like, he's got some great cars. He had a hot girlfriend, at least until her hair got stuck in the door.
What happened to Jake? It's just like, what happened to Damone?
Those guys must be selling real estate now and doing like the occasional Comic-Con show, stuff like that. I don't know.
I suppose, pandemic really fucked that up.
Yeah.
Damone. I'd pay for a Damone autograph.
Oh, heck yeah.
I have him sign my tits.
I think one of our mutual friends ran into Ron Jeremy at a trade show, and I think he has a photo with him. I'm not sure. That feels right.
Ron Jeremy dead? No,
he's going to jail for assault. This was pre-assault knowledge days. But
well, we have a friend that looks just like Damone, so
we do.
We're all right.
We do
on that front.
All right, that brings us to our number ones.
Is it really?
Uh huh. We have cruised through this.
Well, I think that we probably landed on the same number one.
You know, I tried my darndest to not make this my number one.
So did I.
I tried my darndest. It is such a trope for this band.
We're doing Journey. I'm like, okay, well, it's not going to be number one. It might make the list, but it won't make the number one because that's some bullshit.
Yeah.
Everybody is going to be like, of course, that's the number one song. And it is. It just is.
I couldn't get away from it. And of course, it's Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah.
Awesome song. Now, it's been so overplayed. I don't know that I even listened to it fully when prepping for this, because it's been so badly overplayed.
I listened to the first 12 bars just to make sure, because I made my list and I'm like, well, fuck, man, is it really that much better than every one of those? And let me play. And even from the very first keynote,
yeah,
it's like, yeah, it is.
It's a classic keyboard riff.
Yeah.
The first note is played, you know exactly what you're listening to.
Oh, yeah.
You know exactly what that song is. And it's, you know, when I was making my list, I think I was like, all right, you know, I'm going to put this down maybe four or five. And then I'm listening to their stuff and I'm like, oh, I like this song. And I'm going to put that here. Well, but Don't Stop Believing, it's still better than that. And I push it up one. And then I kept pushing it up one and pushing it up. Motherfucker, this is going to be number one.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, there's a couple things about this song that are pretty unique. One of the things is they don't get to the chorus until there's 40 seconds of the song left. It's a 4-minute song. They don't sing the chorus until there's 40 seconds of song left. Now, that's kind of unusual.
I had not realized that.
Yeah, that's unusual. An unusual aspect of any song, much less a pop song.
It's a sneaky song because it comes in and out with different instruments. Neil Schon's, you know, intro with his guitar is nothing short of just like everybody tries to mimic it, right? You can't help but play air guitar to that, you know, introductional squeal in between Perry's lyrics. And Perry's lyrics are perfect. It's like tell a story that is like, I'm in.
Yeah.
All the way.
Yeah.
Let's
absolutely
sing together, Steve.
And his voice is super clean. Yeah, the vocals are super clean. Yeah. There's nothing that like, you don't catch them like
wine and cheap perfume. I love it. I don't give a fuck if I'm out of tune or not. Everybody loves it.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I looked into this a little bit. He references South Detroit. There is no South Detroit. South Detroit is Windsor, Canada.
Yeah.
When he was writing the lyrics, he was like, I tried to use West Detroit. I tried to use North Detroit. It didn't fit. South Detroit just fit right in. So I made it South Detroit.
Yeah, melodically it does.
Yeah. He wrote it while they had done a show in Detroit, and afterwards he was out kind of meandering the streets of Detroit, and people were out walking around, and that's where he came up with the song. His reference to streetlight people comes from him watching people walk around in the streets of Detroit after the show.
Deep.
Yeah. So, and here's something where I did a little math on as well. So this song has just over 1 billion listens on Spotify alone. So that's just Spotify. That's not iTunes or anything else. Just on Spotify alone, they have a little over 1 billion listens. Now, Spotify pays about a quarter of a penny per play. It's actually something less. But for the sake of easy math, let's use a quarter of a cent per play. You know what that means is they have made $2.5 million on 1 billion plays of this song. Now,
that's bullshit.
Yeah. So
that's bullshit.
Here's another way to think of it.
A billion is a really big number.
It's a lot of. So here's another way to consider it.
Like, how many hours is that?
It's a 4-minute song. 1 billion plays is 67 million hours of playtime. 67 million hours of playtime. And they made $2.5 million off of that. And that's just what the overall group gets paid, like management and producers,
sure,
and everything. So they're not actually pulling $2.5 million, right?
God damn.
When you break it down that way, you're like, holy shit.
You can't have, like, again, like, that's one of the biggest, I would bet you that's, like, one of the biggest plays out there. Like, Drake has ones that are doing it, and Taylor Swift.
Yeah, and I think the top is actually, it's, like, multiple billion.
It's the Mariah Carey one.
No, well, it's the redheaded guy, who's...
Rick Astley?
No, he's more modern.
Ed Sheeran.
Oh, his, I think, is the most played, and I didn't look it up, but I want to say that's like 2+.
A billion plays, and you're making $2.5 million.
$2.5 million on 67 million hours of time.
Wow.
You have entertained people for 67 million hours. And I didn't do the math backwards on it to see what that is per hour, but
bro,
it's not gonna be much.
That's bad.
Yeah,
that's bad.
Yeah. No, I this song's iconic. Everything about it's iconic. I like the effect that he puts on his bass. It's got a little wonk, you know, kind of sound on his bass.
That missed me.
of course it did. Worthless. I think Sean's guitar solos in this are great.
Yeah.
You can sing along to every note without having heard the song. You just know it. You know his solos. They're simple, but they do exactly what you want them to do.
The only complaint I have about this song is that the Chicago White Sox pirated this song in 2004 on their phony run to the least watched World Series in World Series history, and nobody gives a shit about it. But they pirated this song for a good 2 or 3 months, and it's like now it's been blazing in my brain. When I hear this song, part of it is like I see that stupid Sox logo floating around in my brain. And that's what really pisses me off about this song.
You're going to alienate 5% of our audience.
Ooh, yeah. Well, listen.
Do you remember when Steve Perry jump up on some sort of stage when they were celebrating that thing? And he tried to sing it and it didn't work. And oh, boy.
Well, that kind of brings us to like the MVP of this group.
Okay.
Who do you have as MVP?
So, you know, I like, as we've been doing in some of our other podcasts, some of them we've talked about members, some of them we've talked about different aspects of the band. In this one, I had to go with both Sean and Perry together because I think Sean's songwriting here is better than Perry alone. But you don't have Journey without Steve Perry.
That's my point. Like, Steve Perry is my MVP. Neil Sean was a established musician in an established band for a long time. He would have continued to be a working musician, and, you know, he's a very talented guy. Steve Perry comes to this band and makes them superstars all throughout the 80s.
Yeah.
From 1978 to 87 and superstars. When they break up, Journey still has a life, but with a guy that sounds exactly like Pineda. Notice we are not singing along with the songs that Journey recorded after 1987.
Right.
There are a couple of albums. Nobody fucking knows who they are.
Right, right.
And Pineda, all he does is, does a very good Steve Perry impersonation. Steve Perry is the reason why Journey exists in the headspace that we know.
Without a doubt.
Because, like I said, like Neil Sean would have not had a band, but it wouldn't have been Journey.
And I think Steve Perry can write songs, right? I looked at some of his other solo stuff and I think I recognized one of them. Didn't move the needle for me.
None of it's great.
So that's why I do give Sean some more credit because if it was up to Steve Perry to write all the music, and I don't think Sean was the only songwriter. In fact,
I think the keyboardist had a lot to do with it.
In fact, the keyboardist came up with the name Don't Stop Believing because his father, when he was trying to break into the music industry, he would call his dad and say, you know, I'm failing. I'm not getting anywhere. No one's listening to me. Nobody wants me, blah, blah, blah. And the dad would say, hey, man, don't stop believing or you're toast. Mm. And so that's where the name of the song came from. Now, I don't know how much that guy contributed to the writing of the music itself.
Getting a cut of that $2.5 million.
A big cut.
What an insult.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
All right, so that brings us to your most hated.
Ooh, God. I think they're all on your top five list. But when...
You can't name a Rush song as your most hated for Journey. I'm just going to call that out now.
La Via Strangiana.
Great.
So when
song.
When I got to the studio this afternoon, and you know, Kirk of course is never on time for anything, so I have to wait around, and he's upstairs whistling and humming a tune, and in the same breath, I am also humming the same fucking tune, because it's such a fucking, I don't know what it's like, such an earworm that it gets in there and it just won't come out. The girl can't help it. Just can't fuck, like, he said that's one of the, that's that song that's on the Greatest Hits album, and it's like right after like a song that you would always definitely play and listen to, and then all of a sudden like it would, that song would end, you would turn around to grab your beer and this song would come on.
you'd have to lunge for the stereo. Yeah, exactly. To hit the skip button.
Like, I don't care if it's Mariah Carey coming up next, we're going, moving on.
It's that stupid hook at the beginning. Can't get it out of your head.
I fucking can't stand it's it. Like the, now it's going to be stuck in your head.
Like I said, it's like the whistle from Catching Fire or whatever the.
Yeah, but there's a lot of songs on like we talked about earlier that just make me mad up from Journey.
Yeah,
yeah,
and some of them.
Any Way You Want It, I will give Any Way You Want It a pass, because it is one of a. It's part of a great scene in Caddyshack.
Right. Right.
And Rodney Dangerfield like carries that song.
Yeah,
all through.
And you have to dance like Rodney whenever you hear it.
No, it's just no option. and hopefully you're dressed like him too. So I'll give that a pass. But like Separate Ways and like just all those others, like it's just that song though in particular.
All right. Well, oof-a. Mine. I knew this. So as I'm thinking about what we're gonna do today, I'm wrestling with. What's going to make it in the top five? I knew this the second I thought of it. The second we even talked about doing Journey, I knew it.
Check that off.
Oh, it was like, I don't have to worry about it. Open Arms.
Ooh.
We sail on together, adrift at our hearts, and here you are by my side.
Oh my God, it is such sap. It's so, ugh.
Let's be honest though, Kerry. In the throes of our breakups, Faithfully is on there, but is
and
Open
Faithfully
Arms too?
Faithfully is sappy, yeah. No, Open Arms never made
not?
It in, no. No, no. I did not like this song ever. And I know that, you know, various.
I think you're onto something there, because I don't think it's in my breakup repertoire
no.
either. Because right, it was just way too. It's like, all right, let's get serious here.
Yeah,
no, it's just, not that bad.
It was terrible.
And I think that's the reason why, like this song, Open Arms, and another song from like my very favorite band of all time, off of my very favorite album of them, the least favorite song I have, Love Bites. Love Bites and Open Arms are very, very similar songs.
Yeah.
Just a little too much syrup, guys.
Right, right.
A little too much.
Yeah. I'm sticking to whatever I'm sitting on after listening to this song. It's like walking around in the old York movie theater. You remember you walking
yeah.
through there? It was tough to walk. It was like high gravity because there was so much soda dried to the floor.
Yeah.
It was difficult to
like
walk
on. Just
it.
Spilled Open Arms all over the place and let it dry out. you ran out of Open Arms here? Put some Love Bites over there. Dare you to make it out.
All right, what's your best 4 seconds?
God damn it. I had it. Oh, come back to me. I
All
always
right.
tell you to come back to me, but I have it. Damn it.
So I had, and you've already mentioned this, actually. I've got two. One of them is that guitar trill into the drum crash on Don't Stop Believin'.
Yeah.
A singer in a smoky room, a smell of wine and cheap perfume.
I just, that's a sort of iconic build that they're building everything up, and then it hits the two double hits, the bum-bum, and then he goes on and continues singing. And then...
If you say the intro to Separate Ways, I'm leaving.
Actually, it's not. It's the ending of Separate Ways, the final vocals in Separate Ways.
Fucking... You're lucky it's the end. I don't even know how that goes, because I always turn that fucking song off or walk out of the room when, by the time it ends. I'm sure we'll get a good taste of it.
I'm sure you're going to hear a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Did you figure out what your tops are?
It is. I referenced it before, the phaser drum solo. And it's not really a drum solo. It's kind of like a drum intro to a guitar solo. It's very much in line with the Don't Stop Believin' solo that Sean has. But it's this one's a... It's introed by the, like, they have this cool effect on the drums. It's neat. I like it. And then Neil Schon's solo that rips into it is much better. Much better. I like it much better than the Don't Stop Believin' one. And that one's top notch too.
Okay, cool. That brings
we
us
got our rankings
to Sisters of Mercy.
Oh yeah, do I want more of this?
Do you want more?
Please listen. It's just like I'm not getting up to turn it off, right?
Yeah.
Like if it's on, like on my playlist,
I'm with you. Yeah.
I mean, if my phone is right there and I can press forward, I probably would. I'll listen to, like, you know, the first 40 seconds, and then, so yeah, no.
They're fun songs to play on Rock Band, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that Rock Band is like 10 years old. Like,
yeah, I mean, I haven't played Rock Band in years. I haven't
played Rock Band anymore.
If I played Rock Band, I would be happy to play one of these songs.
I mean, I'm not going out of my way to listen to Journey.
No.
It's like when you're with people, like when we are allowed to be with human beings again, like it comes on at a party or at a bar, and it doesn't bother you.
Yeah, I'm not picking it out when I'm going to the jukebox at the local gin mill. But
no, never would I ever pay to hear Don't Stop Believin' again.
No.
I mean, but when it comes on,
right,
it's like, let's sing together.
Right. And one of the reasons I wrestled so much with putting that as my number one is you think about shit like that fucking Sox, you know, rally or a political, you know, rally. I'm sure it's been used ad nauseum for political means.
I think so.
And you just get the drunken, almost kind of image of, you know, people with their arms around each other singing this song at the top of their lungs. And it's irritating.
Well, I don't think it's... I mean, to answer this question shortly, no, I don't want any more. If it's in my... If it's in the vicinity...
You're not going to run away.
I don't know. You know, like, we already started talking about this. Like, we came into this angry. Angry for no reason.
For some reason, I found Journey pissed me off. And probably because it brought back a lot of memories of some really... rather unhappy
Did
times
Did you listen
in my
to anything
life.
Else, though? Was it just Faithfully and I'm So Sad? Was Loop?
And Chloe Dancer by Mother Lovebone.
Oh, that's when you went deep into
it. Oh, yeah. That's, I was into the brown liquor by that point. By that point of the night.
I should be dancing tables. See? If it stayed with me, things would have turned out different.
That's right. All right. That brings us to our rankings.
No, John Waite. John Waite, big, you know, big heartbreak guy, John Waite. Maybe we'll have to do that as another list.
We can do that.
Ooh, that's a good one.
All right, we've got Catalog, Talent, and Coolness.
All right.
For Catalog, and I'm dinging these guys kind of hard because there was so many friggin' ballads. Mm. I'm going with a 2.8.
Yeah, I had them at a 2. Like, there is nothing beyond that Greatest Hits album, and that Greatest Hits album is maybe 10 or 12 deep.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Not cutting it. And half of those songs are Wheel in the Sky, and fucking I don't need any more of that shit.
Wheel in the Sky!
I mean, why did the phrasing of those lyrics make me so angry? They bring it up from the knees. Wheel in the Sky. Jesus. I don't like it.
Wheel in the Sky.
Easy to make fun of too. It's low hanging fruit.
It is. Yeah, I had them in it. Yeah, the catalog ain't worth shit.
All right, for talent, I gave these guys a 4, and I would say 3.5 of that is Steve Perry.
Oh, come on. Sean is a great guitarist.
Yeah.
But he really didn't show off.
No,
that's the thing.
He wasn't the Eddie Van Halen, my ego is going to run things here kind of guy.
I suppose so. Yeah, no, he doesn't sound like that kind of guy.
He was better than that. And actually, you know, think about Steve
Perry.
Let
my hair do the talking.
As I walk sideways through doors. you know, talk just for a second. when you think about your favorite lead singers, I'm not talking about front men, and you can incorporate that if you want.
But, talented but singers.
Vocalists for a band. And I thought about this and I wrestled as well. Is he top 5, top 10, 15, 20, 50? And I think for me, he probably settles. I would be comfortable saying he settles into a top 20 range for me.
Top 20.
Top 20.
You'd be stretching it for him. Stretching it.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm putting him much lower than that. You know, there's so many other incredible vocalists. But when you listen to his voice, it brings you exactly to a very specific place. And okay. That may be a good thing. That may be a bad thing. He's got a talent that few other people have. You really don't. There's not a lot of voices like his, male voices like his in music. You know, I think this guy's a top 20 vocalist.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like another topic for a different show. I like that. Like top 20, vocalists.
We can add that.
I want to see if fucking Rick Perry makes that list. Rick Perry. Rick Perry's the governor, the ex-governor of Texas.
And a fine, upstanding citizen.
And a great singer. That's why I mentioned him.
All right. What's your rankings?
Rick Perry. What did I have here? Artistry for me was just at a 2. Nothing spectacular here. There's nothing.
Talent? Really?
Yeah. There's nothing against like a guy like Neil Schon. He's a fine guitarist and very talented professional musician. But I mean, when we're talking about ranking against, you know, the titans of the industry, sure. Like he just doesn't, he doesn't stand out.
Okay.
You know, he's not on the stage with Prince or, even Angus Young. He's just he's okay.
Yeah.
He's got a couple of flaring solos, but you expect a guy who's a professional musician to be able to do that.
Right, right.
So his talent isn't just, extra stellar. There wasn't, the rhythm section was perfectly fine, I guess, because you didn't notice him, and I guess that's what you asked for your rhythm section. And Steve Perry is, his sound is different, but I don't know if that makes him better. He's just got a different sound, which is, unique to Journey, and that's why Journey is what they are. But, I don't see any specific talents there that are, soaring talents. He's not a Freddie Mercury type. So, 2, you know.
All right. Coolness factor.
Yeah.
And I'm actually, as I'm looking at this number, I'm dropping it a little further.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, I had him at a 3.5, and we're on a scale of 1 to 5 here, and 3.5 is a bit high here. I'm gonna... All right, we had a bit of technical difficulty there while my partner manhandled the microphone.
I fell off my chair because you originally had said that the coolness factor for Journey is a 3.5. And then, we had some serious talks. We had to bring in the counselor to, convince him that was wrong.
I've dropped him to a 3, which is already probably too high. But
way too high.
I feel like we'll go middle of the road.
That would be a 2.5. That's okay. I have their coolest factor down to a 1.
Right, that would be a 2.5.
That's it. I'm not giving them anything more. They're a 1 cool factor. They just were never cool. Like, it was not cool to run around with a Journey Frontier shirt on. And there were kids at York that had them.
Oh, sure there were.
And I don't get that fucking, the scarab on every fucking album cover. What was the album cover
on? I don't know. They were a weird album. Their album art was odd.
But it was all a scarab.
Was it?
Yeah. Every single one.
Wasn't Journey like a galaxy? Or Frontiers a galaxy? No.
It's the scarab. Escape. The scarab that's broke apart because it's entering the frontier. So who the fuck knows? I don't know, but I didn't care enough to do the research.
Never had one
on
of their albums.
Yeah, neither did I. Bring so I have their talents down or their coolness factor down to a 1. So when we average all of those together, they come up with a composite average score. That doesn't make any sense. A composite score of a 2.51, which puts them at the bottom of our list, woefully at the bottom. Underneath Phil Collins, who sits at a 2.9.
That feels about right.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It feels right.
Yeah.
I don't know why Phil Collins is up there. So. I'm giving Genesis a lot of credit there. They did pull a lot of the weight there.
Yeah, listen to Genesis. It's a good episode. All right, well, that brings our Journey to an end.
Oof.
You like what I did there?
Come on now. Come on.
Thank you very much for listening. You can follow us on social media at 2, the number 2, Idiots and a List, all one word. You can follow us on Facebook by searching the same, and you can now find us on Spotify on a publicly available playlist under the same name. Just use the number 2 when you spell it. Our Spotify list has all the music we've talked about on this pod and all the other ones.
Enjoy. Enjoy the journey.
Thanks again.